Welcome to Lessons in Leadership, Steve Adubato with my colleague, Mary Gamba. We kick off the program with Bill Noonan, Chief Business Development Officer at Choose New Jersey. This is part of our series. This is New Jersey. Bill, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Steve. Pleasure.
You got it. This is a fascinating time for us. We're taping this right before Thanksgiving. It'll be seen later. There's a transition going on. There'll be a new governor, Governor Mikey Sherrill, on January 20th, 2026. For you and your team, first of all, explain what Choose is as we put the website up. And then what does it mean when a new governor comes in as it relates to engaging and interacting with Choose New Jersey and your work? Please, Bill.
Sure. Well, thank you. So Choose New Jersey is an economic attraction organization. It's our job to work to find companies that are interested in coming to New Jersey. We do that domestically and we do it globally. As the Chief Business Development Officer, I see our international, oversee our international teams, which includes three offices in Europe, an office in Israel, two offices in India, offices in East Asia in Taipei, Shanghai, Seoul, and Tokyo, and then our West Coast office. And we really tell people why they should move to New Jersey. And so we help bring companies and jobs to New Jersey, and then we also support companies as they're here. We're not a government agency, but we work very closely with the governor's team and with the Economic Development Authority, with the Business Action Center, and with all the other economic development teams in the state. So with this transition, I think one of the biggest changes, Choose is about 15 years old now. It was started under Chris Christie. When it transitioned to Governor Murphy, the question at that point was, is there a need for Choose New Jersey? Now that's not even a question. We need Choose New Jersey. Now, how do we use them? And I think that's the important thing, is we become more closely aligned with the governor's team, with the lieutenant governor, what their priorities are and how we can support them. And that's really what we do.
And when we have Governor Mikey Sherrill on, we will talk to her about economic development, talk to her about the work that Choose is doing. We look forward to that conversation in the new year. Mary.
Bill, offline, we were talking about your acting background, the connection that my son has as an acting major over at Tisch at NYU. I am super excited, as many are, about all of the film, media, Netflix, you name it, coming to New Jersey. What does that presence mean to New Jersey, to our economy, to jobs in the state, to have film really just getting so attracted to our region?
Well, without spilling too much of what I'm going to say in a couple of days, Netflix is huge, right? That is a big event for the state, but it's not just Netflix. Since 2019, when the governor kind of put in his new economic program that included the Aspire program and then the changes to the film tax credits, and they've changed over the years, right? They've enhanced those credits. It's really helping to bring business to the state. Towns are starting to understand how they can participate. So the Film Ready program has been fantastic for municipalities to understand what it takes to have somebody shoot in their town. And then the larger scale projects, whether it's Lionsgate 1888, where Paramount just committed to 10 years coming into the state. There's over $800 million worth of economic impact from these, whereas 10 years ago, it was maybe $60 million. And so it's not just the filming that goes on. And I think other people will talk about the ancillary projects. We now have prop houses. We have lumber yards. We have electricians. We have all of the people in all those different unions that are supported by all the projects that are happening in the state. And, you know, you go to a film now, and I know that when films come out, I'm like, I know that location.
Exactly. I live in Westfield, Bill, so you could only imagine how many things are shot here. And, you know, just it's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm in Hoboken. And
same.
It's like, oh, that's the Elks Lodge.
You know? Hey, let me follow up on this, Bill. We work very closely with the folks at the Helix, with Chris Palladino.
Mm-hmm.
Choose is very engaged in the Helix, which is a fascinating initiative out of New Brunswick. We'll put up the website for the Helix right now for people to find out more. Why is Choose so engaged in the work going on at the Helix in New Brunswick?
So it's a combination of things. So what they're doing there is another part of the industries that are really strong in New Jersey, right? It's life sciences, it's healthcare, it's working with universities and those partnerships between universities, with hospital systems and developers and the EDA. And CHOOOSE helps in all of those areas. We help pull a lot of these strings together, right? And so the advancements that are going to come out of the Helix, where, you know, it's bench to bedside. And so we were on a call this morning with a company out of India that is interested in doing what they're doing in India around breast cancer and bringing it here. And so, you know, the new cancer center that's there, there's just so many great things that are happening in that region. And that's what we're helping with.
Mary, jump back in. I got one more quick question. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit more just about the importance of partnerships. You talked about that in all of your different avenues when you travel, for whether it's you're literally partnering with India, you're partnering with the Helix, you're partnering with NJEDA. Really talk about the importance of partnerships to the success of what you're doing at CHOOOSE New Jersey.
So when I talk about who we go on trips with or what we're doing in the state, we're not a monolith. Right? It takes everybody. And there are different places where people come into the state where they reach out to first, whether it's the Business Action Center, it's the EDA, if it's from the Statewide Hispanic Chamber, who we just did a great trip with to Mexico City. They helped co-host that with us. All of our partners, not only in the state, but then around the world. CHOOOSE New Jersey does a really good job internationally. The state sells really well internationally. And we leverage our partnerships at the federal level. So in each country, there are embassies and consulates with the U.S. Commercial Services. Those are the first people we call when we're going somewhere, and they help us. When we went to Mexico, we reached out to the head consul here, Mariana Diaz, who was so supportive. So it's all of those things that help us do what we do so well.
Last question. Business development. You're the chief business development officer. We're involved in business development all the time, raising money for a media production operation, doing a leadership coaching for a whole range of corporations and organizations. It's business development. This is my opinion, it's more important what yours is. I argue that the key to business development, other than providing a quality product, is having meaningful relationships, really meaningful relationships. In the end, is it relationships?
It's all about relationships. I will give you, if we have a moment, a quick anecdote.
Go ahead.
There's a company out of Pune, India, called Enzyme, which has recently come to the state. They came to the state 3 years ago. They had started in Massachusetts, went all the way down the East Coast to North Carolina, went to the West Coast, started in Oregon, and went all the way south to California. When we were just in India with the governor in September, Himanshu Gadgil, who's the CEO, got up and spoke in front of a group of venture capitalists. And he said, the reason we came to New Jersey, we knew we needed to be in New Jersey. They wanted us to come. And it was that relationship where whatever they asked for, we were able to help them. And they didn't ask for just one thing. We helped them with site selection, with attorneys, with helping get the construction, with permitting, introductions to the mayor, and finally getting a ribbon cutting with the governor. So it's that type of thing where they took all the things that we do and we just held on to each other and said, how can we help?
Relationships. AI will never replace relationships. So Bill Noonan, Chief Business Development Officer at CHOOOSE New Jersey. Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Well, stay with us. We'll be right back.
This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, New Jersey Transit, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, the Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, CHOOOSE New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague Mary Gamba has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
A dream is just a dream until your ambition ignites it. Pursuing your legacy takes drive, resilience, and a financial partner who not only sees your vision for your future, but who will go all in with you and focus your ambitions for what you hunger to achieve next.
We are honored once again to be joined by George Helmy, Executive Vice President, Chief External Affairs and Policy Officer at RWJ Barnabas Health, also previously the Chief of Staff to Governor Murphy and formerly a United States Senator. George, great to have you back with us.
So great to be back with you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You got this is part of our Leaders in Healthcare series, but I want to talk to you about something a little bit different. We'll talk about healthcare in a minute. You have a unique vantage point. I actually mentioned this to you offline, that as we speak, a new governor, Mikey Sherrill's, taking over January 20th. There's a transition. You came in as chief of staff, but you're not the original chief of staff to Governor Murphy. But you understand transitions. Long-winded way of getting to this. What the heck are the key things that need to be accomplished in a transition from a campaign to governing for a governor?
Yeah, I mean, you move from, as you said it well, you move from campaigning to immediately thinking about how you're going to govern, running an operation in the state of New Jersey that's 60,000 employees and basically a $60 billion business with a number of key divisions and authorities. And so you go as a chief of staff or an incoming chief of staff or someone running the transition, you're immediately looking at what are the governor's priorities over what period of time, how do you effectuate that? That's your first bucket. And the second is, how do you build a fully functional office? And the third, after you've figured out what the front office looks like, is your key cabinet appointments and the sub-cabinet positions that help them execute their mission, which obviously is also the governor's mission.
How many people are in your ear as new governor?
Oh, it's infinite. How many people that matter with any experience? Very small number. But how many people have something to say to you as somebody who talked to you on the campaign or wants an issue to be on your first 100 days? That number is probably something, I don't know, in the thousands.
So what fascinates me is Dale Caldwell, our good friend from the higher ed world, who's going to be the lieutenant governor. But then there's the chief of staff. Here's my question, and I don't know if there's a clean answer to this. What the heck is the connection between the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the chief of staff?
That's a great question. I think it really matters. I think it's a great question, and it's a different answer in every administration I've seen. And also, you could take that example and say the connection between a president, vice president, chief.
I was just thinking the same thing. Sorry for interrupting, George. That's total. That's unique. This will be unique.
That's right.
Sorry.
No, it's well said, Steve. It's the relationship between the two principals. The way we did it with, God rest her soul, Sheila Oliver, and our current LG Tahisha Way, you know, we were the core team. You have the governor, obviously, who's tip of the spear. And then you have the lieutenant governor, his or her chief of staff, the governor's chief of staff, and the governor's chief counsel. And that's your core apparatus. And the mission there is to advance the agenda of the governor. And how do you execute? How do you separate what's important from what's not important? And how do you execute on the mission of the governor?
As chief of staff, and obviously we're not asking you to divulge anything, because you work with Mark Managhan as part of the executive team at RWJ Barnabas Health. Let me disclose, a longtime underwriter of public media in the state as well as our production operation. But how important is it for the chief of staff, whether in a corporate setting or in a government setting, if you believe it's different, please share, George, to push back in certain situations against the chief executive when you believe he or she is not on the right track?
It may be one of your most important qualifications for the job to have that that spine, that backbone, that confidence in that you are usually the first voice and the last voice in the room that governor takes, and being able to confidently, with precision and with information behind it, give that governor the best counsel you can give them, even if it is contrary to what they want to do. But what I always tell, leaders who, you know, as you said, and we're very proud of supporting, this show and other community efforts, whether it's me giving advice to our CEO or when I was giving advice to the governor, once the governor says this is the direction we're going and he's heard all of the options out there, that's the way you're going, and your job then is to execute it. But in that closed room, you're the most trusted confidant, and you're not there to be a yes man or a yes woman.
You got me thinking about a lot of things, and I'm curious about this. I often, as a student of leadership, as a coach in the field, who's someone who makes leadership mistakes every day, and our mutual friend, Joe DiVincenzo, the county executive in Essex, who he and I have talked about this for years because my dad, my late dad, used to talk about loyalty all the time. A lot of discussion about loyalty and leadership. Trust me, there's a question here. For you, George, where do you believe loyalty begins to no longer be loyal to the chief executive by executing the policy versus fealty, meaning it's blind loyalty? And you know what I'm talking about. Like, what's healthy loyalty?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the way I would answer that, Steve, is is the guidance I give to young people who always, ask me, "Oh, how did you achieve, what you were able to do in your time in government?" And I always start by saying, work for people who you believe in. Don't chase the title. If you're chasing the title of chief of staff, there's such a small percentage that will get it, and you'll probably be unhappy. If you're just chasing the title and you'll do whatever to get that title, you will then devolve into fealty. But if you work for people you believe in and you're willing, as your prior question, to have the confidence in your value and what you're willing to bring to the table and being that true confidant, you'll end up doing the job the right way, and you will be remembered for it. And what I always say is, being in the room requires you to know when you need to exit the room.
Give us more, please.
Well, when you're saying things like that, when loyalty is the number one requirement of when I served as a senior staffer for Senator Booker or a senior staffer for Governor Murphy or now in my current role, sure, you have to be loyal to mission and to the CEO, but that doesn't mean that you compromise your own values, and it definitely doesn't mean you compromise anything against an ethical or legal code. And the second your principal is taking you down that road, I assure you, you are working for the wrong person.
Wow. People can take that and extrapolate and think that through about the leaders who you're around and ask yourself the question, should you leave the room? And I appreciate what George is saying, because if you don't trust and believe in that leader at the core, that doesn't mean you don't disagree. But this is an issue of integrity and character, not a bunch of other things. Before I let you go, and thank you for joining us, and again, acknowledging RWJ Barnabas Health's involvement in public media in the state. Self-serving question. We're in a state where we don't know where public media is going to be, and I've talked to you about this offline as well. Why do you believe it is so important that an independent public media entity exists in the state of New Jersey? Please.
Well, I've answered this to you, I think, in the most unique way. When I came to RWJ Barnabas Health, of the options I had leaving government, it was because of our investment in community programs. And I think it's strange for people to hear of public media and programs like this compared to our programs in food insecurity or homelessness or food pantries, 340B pharmacies. But the reality is, public media and independent journalism is so vital to the fabric of our communities and information sharing that we do see it as an investment in making healthier and more vibrant communities. And so that's how I feel so strongly about the work that you and your team do, to the other public programs that we participate, and our community health footprint. It is who we are in the communities we serve.
And final point, go on our website before we leave. We're doing a series on trust in public health and a vaccine, what you need to know about vaccines initiative in cooperation with the State Department of Health. To George Helmy, the Executive Vice President, Chief External Affairs and Policy Officer at RWJ Barnabas Health. George, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. And thanks to your team again.
Mary and I will be right back after this.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
A dream is just a dream until your ambition ignites it. Pursuing your legacy takes drive, resilience, and a financial partner who not only sees your vision for your future, but who will go all in with you and focus your ambitions for what you hunger to achieve next.
Welcome back to Lessons in Leadership, Steve Adubato, Mary Gamba. Hey, Mary, let's do this. I want to bring Elvin in a moment. You have to announce when you bring Elvin in because he had a hoodie on earlier he didn't want to have on camera. So I think he
Although it was an amazing one because it had GOAT on it, and it was really great.
Yeah, GOAT, we're talking about acronyms in another show. GREAT stands for?
Greatest of all time.
I just want to make sure you knew.
Yeah, but you'll see why I paused, because it actually meant something else on Elvin's sweatshirt. So I'll decide. I'll let him decide if he's going to share.
Is that true? Mm-hmm. Elvin, come on. I thought it was I thought it would be Tom Brady, Lawrence Taylor for the Giants, mm-hmm.
Martin Brodeur for the Devils.
Okay.
Why do you think that hockey's not a sport? Hockey
that's
is
okay. Mark Messier of the Rangers.
Oh.
I would say right now, Aaron Judge, I used to say Babe Ruth, the greatest of all time, I say, is Aaron Judge. And, of course, you cannot forget in basketball, this debate goes on. Can we get this out of the way? Elvin, come on. I'm not going to pay you to come on, going through your agent. You come on.
Also Messi.
Okay. Well, Messi. I said Messier, Mark Messi. You said Messi in soccer.
Messi, not Pelé, Messi.
I forgot. It was the international.
Yeah, sorry. Sport. Scarlin, thank you back there for reminding Steve that there are more sports than just baseball and football and basketball.
But hold on. In basketball, is it? All right. If you had to select, my friend, the greatest of all time, GOAT. By the way, what did your GOAT stand for?
Well, my sweater said GOAT, but it meant God over all things. I'm very religious, you know.
I do know. And now, is God the GOAT?
He is.
Okay, just checking. Now, in basketball, would it be God or would it be Michael Jordan?
Don't do that.
I'm doing it. Is that blasphemous?
I think it is, yeah.
Don't do that.
Okay, all right, we all know God's here, so like, let's go down.
Don't do that.
I apologize. I apologize. I have Catholic guilt right now. So take God out of the equation.
Yes.
If you had to select the GOAT, greatest of all time, in basketball, would it be LeBron James or I'm not even going to, it's clearly Michael Jordan?
Yes, sir. You know that.
Why no doubt, sir?
Why no doubt? Do you see the antics that LeBron James puts on during games? Come on. He is not a GOAT. He's afraid to take the last shot. He blames all his teammates. He wants to surround himself with the best players so that he can win. He's not a GOAT. Sorry.
Wait, hold on. The series on Mary, what's the series about
Starting Scottie Five? Pippen?
What is it called?
Starting Five on Netflix.
No, it's not the Starting Five. That's not the name of it. Frank Brown. What's the name of it?
Isn't it like the 24? It's a number, isn't it?
No, you guys are ridiculous. You got everything wrong. There's a series on Netflix about the Bulls and Michael Jordan. The final.
That's the last dance. That's final not dance. Netflix.
No, how are we supposed to read your mind when you have the wrong station, the wrong sport?
I said, hold on. I was going to say the last dance like it's a Donna Summer song. So, no, hold on. You ready? The last dance.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you. This is a leadership question. Trust me. This is not, even though you've been known for years, I want to do a sports podcast. I'm never going to get to do that, apparently. So, but I can't talk about sports and leadership. In the, Elvin, in the Last Dance documentary, there were scenes where Michael Jordan was very critical of his teammates. He actually got in a fight with, was it John Paxton? Got in a fight with John Paxton in practice for whatever reason or reasons, not sure why. He expected everyone to be as great as he was. Is that a fair assessment? And when he didn't get the best, by the way, I like all of this so far. When he didn't get the best that he thought from everyone, he was in their business. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was, because he wanted to have a perfect, great team. But what he did not do was go and recruit his friends, all the best players from other teams, and surround himself with those players to win basketball games.
That's leadership.
Whoa, no, it's not. LeBron James went and got Chris Bosh at one point, Dwayne Wade, to build what he thought was a dynasty, which wasn't a dynasty, because they ended up losing that first time in that first year they were together.
But go back to then leadership.
Okay.
Go back. I'm sorry for interrupting. Go back to leadership. Is it not
sorry
my
for interrupting,
job?
But
yeah, we're doing another seminar.
Well, but it's different, Steve. Right. When you're playing sports, you can't take all the best players from every team. Then why are you playing the game? Because you know you're going to win.
Elvin,
sports. It's not like that's sports and life are different.
Hold on one second. Bring it back to leadership. Is it not my job And trust me, I'm not comparing myself to Michael Jordan or whomever, especially God. There are some people in public life who do. I don't. That scares me. That's another story. How about this? Is it not my job to get the best people? Why do you think we got you? Because you're a nice guy. Yes, you're a God-fearing nice guy, but you're the best director. That's my job.
Different. This is a job, right? This is a job. But in sports, you're competing against all these other teams. So if you grab all the best players, then are you really competing?
Mary, jump in.
Well, it's so funny because I'm sitting here listening. And again, I relate everything to hockey. Sorry, Steve. Hockey is a sport. And you see it all the time that there are those teams that recruit all of these great players. They bring them in from other towns, other countries sometimes. And then they put themselves in a division that they don't belong in. So I think that's the parallel that Elvin is making, that if you get all of these great players and you go undefeated, sometimes there's a reason for that. So you need to have that healthy competition. If not, you're not as good as you think you are.
Nah, don't buy it.
Thank you, Mary.
Go ahead, Elvin.
No, I'm agreeing with Mary.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. I'd like you once to say I agree with Steve. How many years? 6 years we've been working together. I haven't heard it once.
First of all, it's not 6 years. It's been 9 years. It's okay, though. Don't worry about it.
Well, it has been nine?
Yes. Before COVID, yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. It just goes by so quickly. So hold on 1 second. Here's my thinking. It's not just the best teammates and best players. It's putting the best people in the right positions to have a positive, successful outcome. How is that different in sports, media, a manufacturer, a factory, whatever it is? How is it different? You're putting the best people in the best position. If you just say you're getting the most talented people and you're not even thinking through where to put them, then I would argue that's not strategic and thoughtful. But the best people sitting, as Jim Collins in his book, Good to Great, says, putting the right people in the right seats, is that not a great part of, an important part of leadership, Elvin?
It is a great part of leadership. But when you try to relate that to sports, it's not the same. Yeah, think about it. So think about it this way. If Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Bill Worthy, and Kobe Bryant all played at the same time, would it be a disadvantage for them all to play on the same team against the rest of the NBA?
Who cares?
But I say yes, because there's no one pulling up the other people on those other teams. You need to have a good, an exceptional person up here to help to pull up everybody else.
And if everybody's fighting for the ball, this is where the team issue comes in, the leadership issue. If there's no true point guard, and this isn't really about basketball, you need a facilitator to make other people look good. So it's not just getting the best people. It's getting the best people in the right positions. Sports, business, media, how's it any different? Got 10 seconds left. Go ahead, Elvin. And you get the final word.
So if you said if LeBron James went and got the best point guard, the best shooting guard, the best power forward center, that's different. But he just wanted all the great players.
I'm with you. So go ahead, anyway, Elvin. Get it all.
Besides that, he's not the GOAT. Michael Jordan is. You got the last word. 3 seconds left.
You're right, Steve. You're not going to say it, are you?
We're listening to Leadership. I'm Elvin. That's Mary. That's Steve. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Sylvester. Thank you, Scarlett, Amy, and April. We'll see you next week.
This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Pragramatis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 825, New Jersey Transit, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.